to continue the thought that was brought before us here, brothers and sisters. I'd like to read a few verses from Genesis chapter 8. We see an altar again and a sacrifice rising. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20. Verse 20, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remained, sea time and harvest, and cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. To continue where our brother left off, here also we see an altar. We see a sacrifice, but it's not a sin offering. Here is a burnt offering. And this is an altar for the first time after the flood. God had not told Noah to build an altar, but it came spontaneous in his heart to build his altar. But there are three things I want us just to notice in these few moments we have. The first thing is, in verse 21, and God smelled. We've just been hearing about the fat when it rose, and that particular sense of burning that rose as a sweet perfume to God. God smelled it. Certainly he must have smelled the fat of this burnt offering. And then secondly, that is then that God accepted the offering of Noah. Secondly, we have an assurance of safety given. When God says, not again shall there be a curse on this earth. And thirdly, there is the promise of unceasing blessing in verse 22. Aren't those wonderful things? The thought that God accepted the sacrifice. And then the assurance of safety because of the offering. Nevermore a similar curse on the earth. And then abundant blessing. That's what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Noah brought that offering, of course it was passed on from Adam that no one could approach a holy God except through a bloody sacrifice. And Abel is the one that understood it. As we read, he brought a sacrifice. Cain also. But there was no blood shedding in the offering of Cain. The refusal of seeing that we are utterly to be condemned, as our brother already showed us, we are exceedingly sinful and unacceptable to God. We can only approach him through the substitute, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as the Lord God had not yet given the law of Moses came in when the Lord wrote with his finger the Ten Commandments that condemned us. But in the days of neither Adam nor in the days of Noah, there was a law. And therefore, there could not be a transgression as such. But that did not mean that there wasn't sin in the world. Now, a sin offering is when the Holy Spirit has convicted the soul of transgression. We know that we have sinned. And therefore, we look to the cross and we see Jesus Christ as our substitute, the sin offering. But the Old Testament patriarchs as they didn't have a law that forbade them, then, and there was not the necessity in that sense, that it hadn't been revealed to them yet that there must be a sin offering brought, but God already saw Calvary. God saw Calvary even before sin entered into the world. The Lamb was ordained from before the foundation of the world. But it is already wonderful to see that the patriarchs, before the law was given, they brought the burnt offering and they brought a peace offering. And in that, it's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ and his utter devotion to the will of God, both in his life and in his death. He came not to serve, not to be served unto, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, Noah had all this teaching passed on since Adam, and Noah knew there was no approach to God except on the basis of a sacrifice. And so he brought this. He brought this sacrifice. And we see that of every type, of every clean beast and every clean fowl he brought. And he burned it on the altar. And he knew that this was the way he could approach. And God smelled it. God saw already the completed work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the burnt offering and the peace offering. And so we have this idea of acceptance. As we have seen in our Bible readings, the burnt offering speaks of complete acceptance in the Beloved. We cannot take away anything, we cannot add anything, just God has accepted us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And a New Testament word for that is like justification, if you like. Justification is that God has placed us in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his presence, without spot and with wrinkle. Accepted in the Beloved. Ye are complete in him. Isn't that wonderful? To know that you are accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. That gives peace to the heart. That is the first thing. And God smelled the sweet savor. And then God says in his heart, and we are privileged to know what God has said in his heart, because he has revealed it himself. And it shows you that God does not want the death of the sinner, but God wants all men to be saved. And God says in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. He will not curse the ground anymore. But the curse came upon a man. And we read that in Galatians, that the Lord Jesus Christ was made a curse for us. He, the Holy One, the spotless one, the sinless one, he was not only made sin for us, but he was made a curse. He bore the curse that we deserved. God does not curse the earth anymore for man's sake, but he cursed the man Jesus. As the sin bearer, the curse came upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the better expression. The curse came of a holy God upon the Lamb sacrificed for us on Calvary. And how wonderful it is when we can say, there is therefore now no curse for me, no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus. Oh, how wonderful to know, to have this assurance that I'm in Christ. There's no more judgment for me. Can we say that, all of us? There is no condemnation for me because I'm in Christ Jesus. Because the curse has fallen on the Lord Jesus Christ. God knows that every imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. God doesn't expect anything from man. And that's wonderful also to realize that God doesn't expect anything from you or from me to do towards either our salvation or to, as Christians, to be better or more spiritual in order to earn his favor. No. God knows we can't do it. And so he has provided everything. He has provided everything in that sacrifice of his son he gave him. Not again a curse, but abundant grace. And then lastly, the promise of unceasing blessing that is figuratively shown in the last verse where God blesses. There's the seasons. There is the, whilst the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. These are blessings. These are wonderful blessings, but there are earthly blessings. But how wonderful it is that it's not that we have received earthly blessings, we have received spiritual blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ. These are eternal blessings. But the greatest of all blessings, it is God has given us his unspeakable gift. We sang that this morning in the first hymn. No greater gift could have been given but the Son. And God gave his Son for us. And in him we are eternally blessed. How wonderful that God smelled the sweet savor. When God looked down from his heaven upon the man under the curse on the cross of Calvary, God's holiness was satisfied. And Jesus Christ utterly glorified God in his holiness, and in him we are blessed for eternity.